Hey everyone, welcome to the session on Azure Spatial Anchors. My name is Archana Iyer and I'm a software engineer on the Azure Spatial Anchors team, and I'm so happy to be here from my team to tell you all more about this awesome product that we've all been working on. Hopefully by the end of my session today, you feel like you have enough information to go and start building your own application using Azure Spatial Anchors and are able to use our platform effectively. First, we're going to talk a little bit about what is Azure Spatial Anchors and a little bit about the capabilities and scenarios that get unlocked with it. After that, we're going to get started and understand a few of the concepts that we use in ASA. And we're going to go through code samples and basic building blocks that you can use to build your first application. We then have some recommended best practices that you follow when you're building applications using our platform. Once you have all that information, I'll point you towards the guides where you can get the documentation and sample and GitHub and get started hands-on. After that, I'll be here for the Q&A session to answer any questions that you have, and hopefully you have feedback for us, and we are so excited for you to learn more about our product. So let's get started. The first question we want to try answering is, what is Azure Spatial Anchors? I'm going to try and explain this to you using an example. Imagine a scenario where I'm in a room with two of my really good friends, Satya and Alex. We're all looking at the same 3D model in the center of the room together. I have a HoloLens device, Satya has an Android device, and Alex has an iOS device. But all of us are able to see the same 3D content together at the same time. This is an experience that Azure Spatial Anchors helps unlock. It is a cross-platform service, so across Android, iOS, and HoloLens, which enables shared mixed reality experiences so everyone can see the same thing at the same time that persist across time and space. So if we were to come back in a week or 2 weeks or after any amount of time, we should be able to see the 3D content in the same point in space. With that context, let's talk a little bit about how Azure Spatial Anchors can be used to unlock different scenarios. For the purpose of the talk, I'm going to be abbreviating Azure Spatial Anchors to ASA. Here's an example of a few scenarios where we're seeing our customers using ASA to unlock their productivity and solve their business problems. One of the fields we're seeing it happening in is in the field of manufacturing, where they're using it to complete their scenarios in contextual data access. So imagine a situation where a factory manager wants to leave in place to-dos for their first line workers and wants to avoid having to look at clipboards and move everything to be virtual instead. Or they want to visualize their backend IoT and equipment data heads up on site on the factory floor. Another field which is super hot right now is the field of entertainment and mobile AR gaming. So customers are using ASA to bring the digital world into the real world. Here you can see how Minecraft Earth builds right into the real world in our neighborhoods and in our parks. So what happens here is you're able to mine a certain location along with your friends and interact with that location at the same time as them. So this really helps unlock the next level of mobile AR gaming. The next scenario we're going to touch upon is education, where customers are using ASA for sharing and learning together, so every student can see the content on their own device of choosing, as you can see in this picture. We've also seen customers who set up their space as a learning and educational tour, either on a campus or in a museum. We've seen some cases where they're also using guided tours in museums so people can see exhibits together and interact with their exhibits. In construction, customers are using ASA to share and view the same model together and plan the next steps. This is similar to the example I used earlier with my friends Alex and Satya, where we're working on the same model together while each one of us is wearing our own device. So collaborative visualization to visualize the room layouts and product designs before they spend a lot of money on building out these actual physical models. With that context, let's walk through a few of the capabilities that ASA helps unlock. The first one is multi-user cross-platform sharing. So ASA provides a common point of reference across phone, tablets, and HMDs. So you can abstract away the computer vision, which is used to share these holograms. Different devices are mapping the environment differently, and ASA helps abstract this away from you. So it shouldn't matter what kind of device you have, but when one isn't available, other devices can also be used to share. So over here, you come in and you scan the environment, and you're sending that certain point in space up to ASA as an anchor. And then when you come back with another device, such as a HoloLens, you should be able to find the same content in that space. So we're sending up the poses, and we're not actually sending up this entire model that you see here. Another important capability is persistent holograms at scale. So we don't want to limit ourselves to just simultaneous experiences. I want others to participate in this experience later as well. I want future me to participate in this experience later as well. So the cloud helps unlock the shared view. The ASA service provides API, so you can build experiences where people can come back and persist these experiences in space and time, and it can be recalled at a future time. The other important capability is that of wayfinding, where you place an anchor at a certain location, and based on the visual information, if you place another anchor in a close by location, we will be able to connect these two anchors for you and tell you how to get from your first anchor to your second anchor. And this is very useful in wayfinding and being able to navigate around large spaces. And I want to show you a small going to show you how a customer, which is Seeing AI, is using wayfinding and Azure Spatial Anchors to unlock a good experience for their users.
Navigate to my next meeting.
Your next meeting is with Juliet in Studio C. Would you like me to guide you?
Yes.
Are you starting from the lobby of Studio C?
Yes.
And your phone to map the room. Follow the audio breadcrumbs to conference room 1200.
Where can I sit?
Pan your phone to map the room. Table at 12 o'clock, empty seat located at 11 o'clock.
Hey, glad you're here. Let's get started.
Okay. Hopefully that video gives you an understanding of how ASA can be used to build out an experience. Now that we've seen that, I want to get you familiarized with the concepts that we use in Azure Spatial Anchors, and then I'm going to walk you through a small code sample on how to build your application using ASA. So the first question we want to answer is, what is a spatial anchor? So across augmented reality platforms, anchors are a common frame of reference used to place digital content in the real world or in the same physical location. We collaborate by first establishing a common understanding of the world and of the space. So the tracking system, such as ARKit or ARCore, uses this point in the real world, which has a position and orientation associated with it. And we use this to make sure that the anchor stays in the exact same position. Even if you leave the room and you come back, the anchor will stay in the same position and it'll be readjusted for its drift. So if you see, if you move back and then you step forward, the anchor will stay in the exact same position. So like I said, the anchor is the point in space which has a position and orientation associated with it. And then you can go ahead and place virtual content on it. So like you can see here, I've placed a 3D model of a dog on top of the anchor. So just to be clear, anchor is not the content, it's just a real world location where content can be anchored. It's a point in space between the digital world and the real world. This concept of an anchor is supported across devices, and each anchor is in the same physical space now. It's important to know that we're not saving your content or your assets, we're just saving the anchors in ASA. So the next question you might ask is, what is a cloud spatial anchor and why do we need the cloud if we already have the concept of an anchor? So the cloud helps normalize different device anchors and map pegs. So you upload this data to ASA and someone else comes in with their own device and you can share it across users and across devices. So Another thing that the cloud also helps with is the persistence, which means that if you place an anchor in a certain place, you can come back at another time and you will be able to find the same thing because it's saved up in the cloud. Now that we have a brief understanding of what an anchor is, let's get into the API key concepts around spatial anchors. So the first thing you need to understand is a cloud spatial anchor session. This is the root of ASA and provides all the core API services need to create, update, and delete your anchors. Important to understand that this uses your device's AR session, which is like AR kit session or AR core session. It also captures all the data about the environment. This is the session which you feed camera frames to and give access to the sensors. You give the session the camera frames. The one thing to note is you don't need to do this in HoloLens because you already have a map. So at the root of everything is the cloud spatial anchor session. Then we have the concept of a cloud spatial anchor in ASA. This actually links to your underlying AR platform anchor, which could be a world anchor in HoloLens or an AR anchor or an anchor. This cloud spatial anchor holds a unique ID and represents an ASA anchor. So you set the native anchor that you've created on your platform as a property of a cloud spatial anchor, and there's no conversion needed. We do it for you, and all you need to do is you need to hold back this ID that you're getting. Once you've created your anchor, the next thing you're going to want to try and do is you want to locate this anchor. So when you're ready to find an anchor, you're going to create something called a watcher, and you're going to provide it with anchor locate criteria. So let's say you want to find up to 10 anchors, which is what our watcher allows you to do. Then you're going to start beginning to watch for that anchor, and you're going to wait until you find anchors that meet the specified criteria. Once ASA finds an anchor for you, it's going to return a located cloud spatial anchor using a delegate. So you get back a cloud spatial anchor, and it has a link to your underlying AR platform anchor. So if you're on iOS, you're going to get back an AR anchor. That's one of the really cool things that we do, is that you don't have to do any math or conversion, and you get to work with the anchor that is native to the platform that you are on. So you don't need to worry about the conversion, you just need to worry about building out your application and locating the anchors. Now, what is this anchor locate criteria that we talk about? There's a few different criteria that we provide, and I'm going to explain them to you with the help of examples. So let's say you go to a location and you know that you want your user to find specific anchors with IDs X. Let's say X, Y, and Z. So what you're going to do in this case is your anchor locate criteria is going to be specific identifiers. So you're going to say, can I find a specific anchor, a set of anchors using identifiers? So this is a lookup by anchor identifiers. Now let's consider another scenario which, for example, the video that we saw where the person was being navigated through a space using connected anchors. That can be done using something called near anchor criteria, where you go in and say, hey, are there any anchors connected to the anchor I have already located? Can you help me find them? Then the third one is something which we've launched in the past year, and we're super excited for y'all to go try this out and give us feedback. And for this, the example I'm going to use is, imagine that you're in a museum and you want to unlock the experience where a user sees a certain exhibit based on which part of the museum they're in. So using, let's say, the Wi-Fi fingerprints in that area, you want them to see a certain experience. So the question you want to answer here is, where is my device now and what should I be observing? Again, like I said, this is a new experience that we unlocked, so we're really excited for you to try it. And what this does is it uses sensor fingerprints such as Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, or GPS information to find out where the device is. And using that information, you can find out what anchors are near you. So with these different ways, you can locate your anchors based on your scenario. And we hope you get to go and try these out. I'm now going to give you a general solution architecture on how the flow of an ASA experience would look like. So on the left, you can see that these are the different clients that we support. So we support HoloLens, Android, and iOS. So you can either develop your application in Unity and make it cross-platform, or you can write native apps in these specific platforms. All of these samples are available on our GitHub, and our SDK will guide you through how to build apps on these different clients. Then on the right-hand side, we have the two things that your client code is going to talk to. One is ASA, which is what you're using in order to save and locate anchors. Next, at the bottom below that, I've created a sharing service. This is not a service that's available in Azure. It is basically something that I'm using to abstract away the idea that you want to store your anchor information somewhere and persist it so that you can recall your anchors in the future. So this could be a Cosmos DB, or just to get started to get your application running, you could just hard code the anchor ID and see if you're able to locate it. So like I said, this is the sharing service is something you write on your own in order to persist the anchor ID information that you're getting back from ASA. When we start thinking about what an ASA experience involves, there are a few different steps that you need to do. On the left, I'm going to represent the client, which could be any mobile device or it's a HoloLens device. And on the right-hand side is what you're going to be communicating with. So there's three main things that we need to do. We need to initialize the session. Once the session is initialized, you want to create and save your anchors, and then you want to try and locate these anchors. So after you initialize your session, you're going to create an anchor using ARKit or ARCore, and then you're going to try and save this anchor with ASA. Once ASA has this information and is able to save that anchor for you, it's going to give you back an anchor ID. Next, you want to save this anchor ID and any other information you want in a database so that in the future, if you want to recall that particular anchor, you have that ID saved somewhere. Once we've created the anchor, let's say we want to go and locate this anchor. So you go get this ID that you saved earlier from your database. And then with this ID, you talk to ASA and say that you want to locate that anchor. Then ASA is going to give you back that anchor. And with this, you're able to create your anchor, save it, and locate it back using its ID. Now, let's get into the flow to try and understand how to actually build out an application using ASA, and I'm going to walk you through some code samples. In this code sample, I'm going to be using ARCore and Java, but you are free to use any environment and any coding language that you would like. In order to make the code more readable, I've condensed some of it into larger methods and I've added some pseudocode. Now let's get into it. The first thing you want to do while creating an anchor is you want to set up the session and you want to collect frames. So the first thing you need to do is you need to go to the onCreate method. This is similar to the start method in Unity or viewDidLoad in iOS. So once you're in your onCreate method, you're going to want to set up your ARCore and your scene form. So here you're creating a new scene. I'm using ellipses in place of code to simplify things. In this case, for example, scene is a scene form concept. All this code is on GitHub, so you can get more detailed steps over there. Once we do that, the next thing that we need to do is we need to create a cloud spatial anchor session. Over here, we're initializing a new Cloud Spatial Anchor session, and we're going to give it an ID and a key, which we get from the Azure portal. We're also going to set the log level and set the ARCore session. Once we do that, we're going to give the camera frames to ASA. And in order to do that, we're going to create an update listener, which is here, and then we're going to call process frame on it. If you're not familiar with this syntax, a listener is similar-ish to a delegate or a callback, in that it'll get called by scene form whenever there is a new camera frame. So what this does is it does one end of the handshake where it calls session.processFrame every time there is a new camera frame. It's a way for us to pipe the frames into a cloud spatial anchor session. And on HoloLens, you don't need to do this because you already have. Once we do that, then we want to go and register the other side of the handshake. And over here, we as an app tell ASA that these are the frames that we have. So for this, we're going to have to handle session updates and wait until enough frames have been collected. So we're going to add a callback that tells us how much information about the environment we have. So the listener we're going to use in this case is addSessionUpdatedListener. And the session updated listener is getting information from ASA about how much of the environment has been collected. This value is going to be a float value from 0 to 2. And when it has the session updated goes to a value greater than 1, ASA is going to let you save an anchor. Now that we have the two sides of the handshake, let's actually go and place anchors. So to do so, we need to add a callback that will be invoked when you tap on the screen. That's what this callback is going to be. TAP AR Plane Listener is an AR core concept that lets us register a method to be called when you tap on a plane. So the method that we're registering in this case is going to be the handle tap method. Next, what we want to do is we want to create an anchor and send it to the service. The handle tap method takes in a few different things as input. The one that's most important to us is the hit result. So what happens here is you want to first create a local anchor. In order to do that, you're doing a raycast from a point in the screen where you tap to the real world so that you get an anchor in real space. Now you have a spatial anchor. What you need to do next is try and create a cloud spatial anchor and set this local anchor that you've created as a property to the cloud spatial anchor. You don't have any math to convert it from your local anchor to the cloud spatial anchor. We do that for you. Then you have to wait until you have enough data about the environment. And after you do that, you want to call upload cloud anchor async on your cloud anchor and send your information to ASA. And once ASA is done uploading your anchor, it's going to give you back an ID. So in this, you first initialized a session, created a cloud spatial anchor session, fed certain frames to it, and then once you've collected enough information from the environment, you're actually registering a tap method to go and save an anchor in ASA and get back an ID. In case you were wondering, yes, I actually do type this fast. This is all in real time. Just kidding. So now that we've created our anchor and saved it in ASA, next we're going to want to locate the anchor. I'm going to be using the example of trying to locate an anchor in that is near my device based on the GPS. So I'm going to be using the sensor fingerprints and try to locate an anchor which is near my device. So a small modification which we need to make is that when we create our anchor, like we did in the previous slide, we need to make sure that we're also saving the information about the sensor fingerprints and what the GPS information is when we created the anchor, so that when we locate the anchor, we're able to locate it based on that GPS information. So in the first thing we need to do is we need to set the sensor information on creation. So what I'm doing here is I'm creating a sensor provider. And then for that sensor provider, I'm getting sensor information and setting the geolocation enabled true. What this is going to do is that it's going to make sure that when my anchor is created, it has GPS information along with it, which it's sending to ASA. And then we go ahead and do the same thing of doing the handle tap, which is going to actually send this information to ASA. Now that we've done that, we actually want to locate the anchor. Whenever you want to locate an anchor, like we said before, you want to create a watcher and you want to send it certain criteria. So what we're going to do now is we're going to set the anchor criteria and send the locate request to the service. So when you're ready to start looking, you're going to create the watcher. What ASA is going to do now, it's going to look around and try to find feature points that it sees and match them with feature points you had saved when you created the anchor. So I'm creating my near device criteria and I'm setting the distance in meters to 5. What this means is that I want you to find everything which is within a 5-meter radius from me. And then once you create this anchor criteria, you are going to set the near device criteria and then you're going to create the watcher. What this does is it actually calls ASA and tries to locate the anchor for you. So once it's found these anchors that you're trying to locate, it needs to tell you through a callback that it has found an anchor. So one thing we forgot to do is when we initialize the session, we also need to be listening for any located anchors. So let's go back to where we initialized the session in the onCreate and add a small handler, which is listening for when anchors have been located. So you know how in the onCreate we had set up the session, we do that. And then we're going to be handling session updates using this watcher. So we're going to create a callback that is called when we locate an anchor. This callback is the add anchor located listener. So ASA calls this whenever it has located an anchor. First, what it does is it checks if an anchor was located using an enum. And this enum has a few other options, such as could not find or we don't have enough information. And then once it's actually gone to a status where it's located it, you're going to get back the ER core anchor from ESA. So what's interesting to notice here is that you get back your anchor in the local anchor form. So there's no math that is needed on your end to convert it from a cloud spatial anchor to your platform's anchor. And you don't need to do the math for that. So once you get the anchor, all you need to do is render the content on the screen. And voila, you've created an anchor, saved it, and located it. So hopefully this lets you create persistent virtual content, and this gives you the basic idea of the building blocks that are needed. Let's get into some best practices which we recommend that you follow while trying to build applications using Azure Spatial Anchors. Improving your data. This is something that's very important to us. And with ASA, each time you locate anchors, we attempt to improve the quality of your future locate operations. So this is done by a process that's running under the hood, and it's an offline optimization run by ASA to improve the quality of your anchors through environment change, through time, and for additional user angles and perspectives, so that each subsequent anchor locate request is better. This point cloud that you see here, this is a very dense point cloud that's been created by a HoloLens, so don't expect this level of coverage, but this should give you an idea of why it's important for you to create a point cloud with many anchors which have feature-rich information, and this is how we're mapping out the space using anchors. Now that we understand why it's important to place and find an anchor effectively, we're going to give you some guidelines to help you use that. Some of these are things that you might already know from building AR apps, but some of them are specific to our applications. So this image that you see on the left, that is what our computer vision algorithms are actually seeing. What you see in green are the feature points. These are distinguishing points in the real world. So a painting with spots of contrasting colors would be having high feature points because there are lots of levels of visual contrast. Feature points are points with interesting information. What you see in red are the camera frames, which are the pictures that we took from the camera from different points in space. As you wave your phone around, we get more and more green feature points. When you place an anchor, it gets tied to those feature points. And when you look for an anchor, we use these feature points that we've collected to know where the anchor should be placed. I want to note that all of this is done on the device, so no camera frames are leaving your device. What you see is the white sphere, that's the anchor that's getting saved. So we actually save the feature points as well as the anchor. This is why it's important to target interesting visual features and feature-rich areas. Examples of this are edges or corners, or sometimes when you see that your AR core or AR kit is able to detect a plane, that's usually a good signal that that's a feature-rich area to place an anchor. It's also important that you provide sufficient lighting to your environment. You want to try and avoid using reflective surfaces for placing anchors, and also you want to avoid blank surfaces or surfaces without details, such as the image on the right. You want to avoid surfaces with repeating patterns such as wallpapers or carpets. Guide your users to wait for the tracking to stabilize before placing AR content because it gives them some time to avoid objects from drifting or flying off. Then when you are designing, we want you to consider your scenario because that's going to lead to your UX design. In general, when creating an anchor, scan it from the perspective of the people who will try to locate it. So if you're trying to display a data visualization on a conference room table, maybe you should encourage users to place the anchor sitting down or in an accessible and central spot. Or if you're leaving notes in a museum, it doesn't matter if they capture a 360, but you want to encourage them to find an interesting painting and pan around it and save the anchor around there. Now, while finding anchors, there's a few things that you can do to improve the experience as well. You want to guide them to move the phone around and scan the large areas, but you don't want them to move their phone too fast because that might lead to blurry images. It's also important to try to find the anchor from a similar place where it is placed from. So we encourage you again to design based on the scenario. So internally, we see two patterns for finding anchors emerge. One is the target, where you're able to show the user a picture of the area and they should aim at it. For example, in a museum, you get them to directly aim at a picture of a painting. Or there's the other scenario, which is room-based finding, where you just generally get them to scan the entire room, for example, in an escape room, and based on that, they can place content in the room.
Awesome. So with all those concepts and ideas, how do you get started and what's the best place for you to get kicked off? Here's a link to a few resources which you might find useful. ASA is now in general availability as of build, and we are so excited for you to come build with us and give us feedback to improve our product. There's a link to our documentation, which is aka.ms/asa-docs, a link to our GitHub samples. We have a Stack Overflow that we're constantly monitoring. We also have a user voice forum that you can reach out to us on. If none of this works, you can always provide feedback at azuremrs@microsoft.com. I'm going to be here to answer questions after, and everyone on my team is very excited to work with y'all to build really awesome shared mixed reality experiences. My Twitter is also a place where you can reach out to me at @archana_bir. Thank you.